don't put too much stress on your first kiss. It'll happen, but like, it gets better, more funnier, and like,
yeah. Man, it only gets magical if you're actually in love with the person, you know, like later on after you've kissed them a lot. But usually the first
That's
kiss.
True. I prefer women, but I want a guy to force himself on me. I am open to trans women doing the same, but I don't see too many of them wanting. Oh, some of them do like work off the side, because like some of them are actually sex workers. So. Like, there's never a shortage for someone to take a nice 40-year-old hairy man aside and, you know, take him. just really take him.
is one last kiss, but she won't let me have it. I want to get over her, but I can't. I need help.
Hey, this is Morgan Rector. Join me and my co-host, Rosanna Chilton, for the Confession Post podcast. ConfessionPost.com is a website where users post highly personal content anonymously for the reading pleasure of other users. On this podcast, Rosanna and I read confessions from the site and give our analysis. You can listen to the Confession Post podcast on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. I am Rachel Telfor.
And I'm Michelle Gower.
We are the hosts of a new true crime podcast.
It is called Children of the Void.
The Void refers to children who are missing.
And children who have died under mysterious and suspicious circumstances.
Sometimes parents know nothing about what has happened to their child.
And sometimes they seem to know more than they let on.
Like Casey Anthony.
And the JonBenet Ramsey case.
We are determined to do our part to find missing children.
And the truth when the story of their disappearance doesn't hold up.
Together, we will blast the shadows with light so that no more children disappear into the void.
Children of the Void debuts in September.
Join us so we can all make a difference.
Please subscribe.
Until then, I'm Rachel Telfor.
And I'm Michelle Gower.
You can catch Children of the Void on Apple, Spotify, YouTube,
and everywhere else you get your podcasts.
Hey, Morgan Rector here. I'm just dropping a line to say thank you to all of my Patreon donors. Since I'm not a Joe Rogan or Mark Maron, podcasting is more or less a starving artist gig for guys like me. Patreon donations keep me from having to take a job that would take away from my ability to generate more Human Monsters content. The website URL for Patreon is www.patreon, that's spelled patreon.com/leader1. A way to make a one-time donation is to send it through PayPal at morganrector331, Rector spelled R-E-C-T-O-R, at hotmail.com, morganrector331 at hotmail.com. You don't have to give a large amount of money if it isn't possible. If a dollar a month or a dollar one time is the best you can pony up, it would be gratefully accepted. I know how hard things are for everybody during COVID. Thank you for all the support you have given the show, whether it is through financial donations or simply by listening. I am grateful for all you have given to me and the program. Enjoy the show.
We'll be right back.
Hi guys, Morgan Rector here. I've been behind schedule in terms of producing the documentary format episode for a couple of reasons. A, the source material is vast, and it has taken me a while to prepare the script. You can be assured, though, that it is going to be a very long, detailed, and disturbing episode. Something along the lines of the Marcus Wesson case. B, my mother nearly passed away this week, so that threw me by the wayside. As far as the true crime news goes, Rachel also had some commitments she couldn't break free from. Anyway, we're back, and this week we're doing one story, the Gabby Petito-Brian Laundrie saga. Michelle Gower joins us as we speculate as to whether or not Brian Laundrie is guilty and the location of his whereabouts, if he is indeed still alive. The show is shorter than usual, since there is still a limited amount of information available about this case. Enjoy the show. All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in to the True Crime News. I'm Morgan Rector.
I'm Rachel Telfer.
And tonight we're joined by Michelle Gower. Say hello, Michelle.
Hi, guys.
Before we go into our story, I just want to address an issue that's come up on YouTube where I also published the show. So people keep complaining that I'm publishing things that other than Humo on that channel. And I want to point out that, A, it's not called Human Monsters. It's called Leader One Studios. That's what the channel is called. But also, I created the channel before I ever created Human Monsters, before I came up with the idea for Human Monsters. The channel existed. There's evidence, too, because the earliest videos are not Human Monsters videos. So I just wanted to clear that up. So without
further ado, I love you in being so passionate about that. He's like,
I'm sick and tired of
so he's so irritated by it. And you guys, don't be trolls. Like, we have enough negativity going on today. Don't be assholes just to be assholes. Let Morgan do what he wants to fucking do. It's his channel. And shut up.
Well,
or deal with me.
We are going to do something a little different this week. Instead of doing 10 stories like we usually do, we're going to focus on one story that's pretty hot right now. It's getting a lot of coverage. It is the story involving what is her name now?
Gabby Petito.
Gabby Petito, and what's his first name? Brian Laundrie.
Brian Laundrie, or yes. Landry, or however you want to say it. I really don't care.
So, Rachel, we'll get you to read an article just to set it up, and then we'll launch into our discussion.
Absolutely. If you don't mind, and I didn't tell Morgan I was going to say this, but I'm totally going to say it, so whatever, I'm a co-host. I thought about this episode and doing it. I rethought about it the past week because while I do want this man to be caught and I want justice to be served to this girl, it bothers me that there are 50 bazillion other missing people and murderers out there right now that aren't getting the same attention.
Yeah.
And it's just the way the media goes, because she was a pretty young girl and he was an attractive young man, and the media just latched onto it and caught onto it. But there's other, I mean, if you guys listen to Morgan and I, worse shit than this happens every week, and it's not publicized.
Absolutely. But
so I just wanted to say that I want to do it because it's true crime news, and obviously it's the biggest thing in the news, but also it's over publicized.
Well, there are clues and leads, so that I think that has something to do with it as well. So
yeah. But anyway.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, yeah.
So I'm going to run down the timeline, because if you don't know about this case, like I said, you may be living under one too many rocks. So just come out a little bit, a little. So Gabby Petito and Brian Laundrie have been dating for quite a long time. They were engaged to be married. They set out in July to go on like a van tour of national parks throughout the United States. In July. So during their course of travel, they did on August 12th get stopped in the Moab desert in Utah. Okay. And this is highly publicized. You should all know about this. There was like 20 minutes of dash cam footage of them being stopped. And supposedly she was attacking him verbally and or physically while he was driving. He ran off the road. The cops ended up coming. I'm not reading this. I'm just going to go off what I know. So deal with it. The cops interrogated them and they're like, okay, well, this is just a couple having like a spat. We'll separate you for the night and, you know, whatever. Tomorrow you're fine. Go back to your life. Now, also during this time, weeks later, there's all these people that say they've seen them together. They've seen them camping here and there. There are people that say they saw an extra girl with them. It's just, again, got out of control. But so they're on this vacation. The whole time, Gabby is keeping in touch with her family. They're very close. Okay, so toward the end of August, Gabby stopped communicating with her mom and her parents. So that was a red flag. On September 11th, Brian came back home without Gabby. Okay. So everyone was asking where she was. You know, he kind of didn't really have an answer. She made her last post on August 25th, and that was on her social media. She got there was an odd text to her from her phone to her mom that her mom thought was very weird. And then it was September 1st. I'm sorry. It was September 1st. He returned home. September 1st. He returned home without Gabby. Okay. She was reported missing on September 11th. How long is that, you guys?
Too long.
Okay. Did this guy date Casey Anthony in the past?
I mean, how long is that? September 1st, he came back without her. She was reported missing on September 11th.
Oh, man, that's fishier than Red Lobster.
Oh, amen. Thank you. So then police start immediately searching for her. She's a missing person. The sheriff goes on the news and he's like, no, you know, everyone's asking about Brian and asking where Gabby is. And, you know, he's not really giving much information. She's just a missing person at this point. So it's a little shady, but they're not investigating. They're not taking samples. She's a missing person. September 15th, he is listed as a person of interest in her disappearance. Not her murder, nothing else. We don't know anything. She's just missing. September 16th, her father gets on live TV and does a plea for help. And by the way, this guy looks like somebody you do not want to mess with. I would not want to mess with him. So then that day, people swarm his house in Northport, which is very close to me. September 18th, there's a huge search party that starts going out looking for him in the forest next to where it's a 24,000 acre reserve right next to where his parents live. September 19th, Gabby's remains are found in a national park in Grand Teton, Wyoming. So now she's dead. Then she's identified the next day. 2 days later, on September 23rd, there was a warrant issued for Brian Laundrie's arrest. And the rest kind of plays out in the media. So we had a cross-country voyage. We had an argument that was filmed. We had a man who came back without his fiance that went unquestioned for way too long. We had a missing person. We have a dead body. Now we have a person that literally right now, still to this moment, has not been located.
I'm wondering why the authorities have not released the details of the homicide, like how she was killed.
Like, Michelle, do you have any idea why they would withhold that information?
So I would just, I would speculate that it would be because it's still an active murder investigation. They may know the cause of death, but they may not have a specific weapon. It's hard to say because it can backfire. The social media is great for getting information out there, but it's also a pain in the butt because if it gets over publicized, then you'll get, you know, flooded with phone calls and misleading information, and it can take even longer to solve the case.
Which is exactly what's happening right now.
I think whatever information they have, they're holding it under lock and key because it's too sensitive to solving the case itself.
Yeah, I guess so. And also another one thing that tends to happen too with a lot of cases, people call in, sometimes they're just nut jobs who maybe they're like schizophrenic and they just believe bizarre things. There are people who basically are playing pranks on the authorities, right, and reporting things that are not true, and a lot of theories that just don't play out. And so that's one thing that tends to slow them down too. I mean, they can't turn away any tip, but there's so much bullshit that tends to come in. And I think the internet has definitely facilitated that.
Right. And another issue, too, is that crime scene investigation and DNA and forensic testing is not as quick as what is shown on TV. It's not an instantaneous thing. So in the event that people start, you know, digging up, oh, well, we know the murder weapon is this item. Hey, I found this random item near my house. You know, maybe it could be related to the crime. Who knows if they're going to take that seriously and, you know, how much extra testing and money they would have to basically piss away, you know, on false claims.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible maybe she wasn't shot or stabbed. She may have been strangled. And if that happened, that's definitely a very nebulous, kind of vague thing to investigate, because that means the coroner has to examine her whole body, and that can take a while.
Well, and they do that anyway, too, just to rule out other factors as well. But yeah. So I'm wondering if maybe they haven't released additional information because maybe he did strangle her, and being that he was the last person to see her, his hands are the weapons, and with him being on the move, you know, what's the point in upsetting everyone more?
Yeah.
You know, by releasing this information, our family's already grieving, you know, the whole world, for the most part, you know, a good group of people are pissed off at this guy and want him caught, you know, because obviously he's dangerous. And it's a little ridiculous that, you know, law enforcement or the family waited 10 days to actually file a missing, you know, it's a whole hot mess. I have so many thoughts that probably, you know, it's all speculation. Who knows what's right at this point? We're right along with everyone else.
Rachel, have you been to the place where he is alleged to have escaped to right now?
I've been by it many times. I have not gone into the national park, but I've driven through Northport.
So have you seen enough of it to speculate on how easy it would be to hide there? Is it like
very easy? Very easy. 23,000 acres of swampland in Florida is almost unimaginable. I mean, yeah, it would be, especially because he is an outdoorsman. He does know how to survive. You know, that's kind of what they were doing. They were on going to all the national forests and stuff like that. So he's from here. And, you know, Florida people are resilient if you've lived here and know how to work with the land and all that. But still, it's, I don't know.
Better be ready to engage with alligators and poisonous snakes.
Oh, 100%.
Because they
it's an alligator and snake infested reserve for sure.
Oh, really?
So oh, 100%.
He could just be sleeping and get attacked by something like that.
Yeah, pretty much.
And and there was also an issue with his cell phone. He had one phone when he was with her, and then he threw it away, just deactivated or whatever. He now has another phone, so that's also suspicious too.
Yes, very.
I don't know if the police have subpoenaed the cell phone carrier. I think they did.
I believe they did. And like I said, I don't know every aspect of this case. I know enough about it. Trust me.
But if,
if you're aware that, you know, your girlfriend disappeared, say he didn't do it. Like, so the smart thing to do would be to go to the police and undergo the questioning, the maybe do a polygraph. But clearly he's not going to do that because he knows
he pled the fifth for right after he got she was missing. He was in his parents' home before he left, before he went disappeared. He was there. And so it's, I mean, how is this? And he had like a lawyer. He didn't say anything. He wouldn't say anything.
Do you think they're playing dumb, his parents?
I have a hard time saying anything. I believe they know more than they're telling. Yes, I do believe. I personally believe that. Yeah, I do.
Because I guess it's easier to think, you know, that you would turn your kids in, but I guess...
Well, they might not think that he killed her, you know?
Yeah, they may... That's probably a very difficult thing to believe about your own child.
Right.
Yeah.
That they Especially if they don't have the reason, like Michelle said, you know? And I think they don't say that because it might be a very key part of the investigation. What if it is? That's a big deal, knowing how, you know? Something only maybe at this point the killer would know.
Yeah. So they did. They absolutely saw a second girl, a third person.
That was not an absolute. But I did a little deep diving, and there was all these things on TikTok, Reddit, YouTube. I mean, you name it. And there was a camper that said, and she was like this super crunchy California looking chick, and she's like, I saw these people. They were here. You know, during the time that they were in this national forest in Wyoming. Was it Wyoming? Or whatever state.
Yeah, I think Wyoming.
Wyoming. And she's like, I saw, they never came out when there were people around. They waited until like everyone went to bed or wasn't around. But there were two people, but then she said there was another girl that was hooded. And she always kept her hood up and she wouldn't come out of the motorhome. And this woman's dead ass serious. Like, I'm like, what is... there's just all these crazy things. So was there a third person? They're like, oh, he was reading a horror novel or like a something about a serial killer and he wanted to write his own book. Like, these are things that people, I'm not joking you, these are things that people are saying, and it's blowing my mind. That's why I kind of had to step back from it.
Well, since everyone's shooting into the dark, maybe maybe the fact that that third person was there, maybe he killed her and he killed Petito because she knew about it and he didn't want her to inform on him.
Well, that's an interesting thing that you say that, because there actually were two murdered women the same week that they had been in Wyoming, very close by. So far in the media, I believe they are technically unrelated officially, but that's another rabbit hole people went down.
Yeah, I remember reading about that online, that when they initially thought they found Gabby, and then they're like, well, we found other person's remains, and they were murdered, and it's like, which kind of circles back to the whole situation of how many murderers and unsolved cases are out there that we don't know about yet or have not gotten the proper coverage.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, oh, we're looking for one dead girl, here's another.
Well, and if he's capable,
probably many more.
Right? Interesting.
He was capable of killing Petito, then he could very well have killed someone else. He could be a serial killer.
He could, or he could have killed himself because he's a chicken shit, and that's why they haven't found him. He made himself gator food. If he's even still in the swamp, because the whole thing is you can't get tracked in a swamp.
Exactly.
Oh,
so
yeah.
He could have easily walked so far in and gone out somewhere else unless they had search dogs doing the perimeter of the whole park. But, I mean, how plausible is that?
Well, funny you should say that. That will segue into my next fun topic of this story. So, Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
Yes, Dwayne Chapman, Dog the Bounty Hunter, is officially in Northport right now. Searching for Brian Laundry. Don't care how I say his name. Sorry, that's rude. He's innocent until proven guilty. So he did have search dogs out there yesterday, literally yesterday.
Yeah, because they put a bounty on him. How much was it? It was like 20,000.
I don't even know what it was, to be honest. I didn't even look that up. I was just like obsessed with the fact that Dog the Bounty Hunter was going, 10,000 for info. Oh no, Dog was offering 10,000 for info leading to him.
Oh, okay.
But that was actually just recently.
I remember the bounty being much more than that.
Yeah, so if he's offering 10,000, I'm sure he's getting more. But anyway, so he did bring dogs out. They had apparently had the search narrowed to a specific lot, or not lot, but area. So they dialed down the search team. They said they were focusing in on this one particular area. This is like last night. Everyone, like Twitter's all like, no one wanted to go to sleep because we're all waiting to see if, you know, the FBI and or Dog the Bounty Hunter find this guy, which would be pretty fucking epic. Sorry, but that'd be awesome. Well, but also, the FBI look really bad. So I hope.
Dog says he's closing in on him. I'm not sure what that means exactly, but that he's probably just saying that just sound good.
Well, no, he said he found what was a fresh campsite. There was like a energy drink can that was not weathered. It was pretty fresh looking. They did analysis, you know, like looked at it, like hadn't been sitting there for a very long amount of time. So that's why he did have evidence, some kind of evidence to think that somebody had been there very recently. So he's not completely off.
So what, I mean, with the ground being so moist because it's a swamp, I guess all your footprints just kind of, come together, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, they're covered. Yeah. They're covered in water. You step, and you're stepping into like just gushy marsh, wet, you know, it's raining or what? It rained yesterday. Probably rained today up there. Who knows? It's just wet. Like it can break at any moment. That's what's crazy about this. I could refresh right now and there'll be new information.
Well, there's so many people looking for him, and it's a dangerous area for him to be in. He's not going to be able to just go and buy food, you know?
I know. He's either going to have to be dead or eventually come. Like, you can't stay in Florida swamp that long without having to come out. Unless you're one of those, what's that? Naked and Afraid. Unless you're Naked and Afraid style, like hardcore into outdoorsmanship, you're not doing it. No way.
And
mosquitoes, gators, snakes, weather, everything.
They also issued a warrant for fraud because he's been using her debit card to withdraw money.
Yes. So yep. So they officially have a charge on him, which I think is purposeful.
Yeah. So that's, but still, I mean, well, he's going to run out of money, so that's going to be a problem for him.
It's not a very heavily populated city. It's kind of ruralish, especially where they are. So people know people, especially him, for crying out loud. Everyone knows what he looks like at this point.
Yeah.
Did you see that Dog flew a banner over the swamp?
He did, eh?
I swear to God, with a plane. Flew a banner, if you go to Twitter, hang on, over the swamp, and it said, Aloha, Brian Laundrie, and then Dog, like signed Dog.
And I think the FBI have picked up the case now.
Oh, they did a while back. Yeah, they took it over quite a while back.
Do we know if the FBI has taken thermal imaging cameras, like in helicopters, over the area to try and potentially locate?
Let me see. I believe they have. I'm going to double check that, though. Hang on.
Sure.
That's a good question.
Well, it says here the FBI has obtained phone video of campgrounds the Laundries visited days before Petito went missing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're doing everything they can.
Okay.
Really
are. I mean, I have friends that just went by his house like 2 days ago because they were in the area doing work, and there are literally people surrounding. You can't even get into his neighborhood without being ID'd.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right now. Right, like, right yeah. now. Like, that was yesterday.
Well, I'm very suspicious. His parents, I'm really suspicious about them. I'm really suspecting they must know shit.
I agree. I almost want to drive up there just to film.
Or if he didn't tell them anything, they probably still know that he at least ran to escape being arrested.
They have to. He was there. Again, he was there. And yes, they did use thermal imaging.
Okay, Michelle. Well, my biggest qualm with this whole scenario, this whole case, is the fact that had the cops that did the initial stop in Utah mm-hmm. not just, you know, brushed it under the rug as a quote-unquote mental health episode, but would have potentially charged someone with domestic violence, they could have mm-hmm. stopped this from even happening.
Thank you.
And that just goes Thank to you. Show you how Thank you. Law enforcement needs, you know, social workers and, you know, people who are trained in the mental health field alongside them, because you know, it's not in a police officer's training to be able to understand that mental health aspect the way people who have degrees and backgrounds in it do.
Yep.
So those judgment calls, ultimately, this isn't the first time a cop has made a bad judgment call against a mental health issue that
yep.
does involve domestic violence to a point where it ended in someone dying. And Amen. The more it happens, the more it pisses me off, because you know, as agencies, we all need each other and we need to work together if we're going to make everyone safer. It's not just a certain group. And, you know, maybe her mental health was struggling, but how do we know it wasn't a result of domestic violence? The way people explained that she was talking to the officer in the body cam footage yep. sounds like someone who's obviously being, you know, not necessarily physically abused, but mentally abused.
Absolutely.
Someone is like wearing down and gaslighting and just fucking with this girl's psyche. And, you know, if you like, that's like the equivalent of a guy saying, oh, she's just on her period. You know, like.
Applause track, Morgan. Applause track. Quick. I need applause.
There's so much more to it. And it's not so easy to just say a mental health episode. Well, what does that mean? Because that could be anything from having, you know, a quick cry to a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. what the hell?
I totally agree with you. So Michelle just literally said everything I really want to say.
Yeah. I've been standing on the soapbox quietly for a
I'm
little
so
bit,
happy.
Just kinda listening, but I just,
yeah, no, I try. I'm trying not to get too, it's so close to home. I don't want to get any like hate threats or anything like that. Not
no,
that
I
would. Not that anybody listens to our fucking podcast anyway, but because they hate my voice, which I can't change, but that's cool.
Well, I'm vapid and it's, but I'm not a teenager, surprisingly. So
no, she's, oh, yeah, I know.
Thinking I'm so young, but that's not the point. But yeah, so
she looks really young. But yeah, it's, she, I believe, yeah, I think he was definitely a narcissist. And that girl that I saw
yourself,
in the video was
yeah.
sad.
When you blame yourself, like, well, I mean, you know, he grabbed my face, but I did hit him first. That's deflecting. That's
yep.
you defending the abuser. That kind of stuff hits really close to home, and that raises so many red flags for me. And it's like, I also read, too, that they were engaged, and then they backed off the engagement. Like, mm-hmm. they called it off, but they were still together.
They've been off and on for a very, very long time. They're like, they started dating, I believe, in middle school. So they've had a very long relationship. Oh, and it's been, yeah, it's been off and on. But again, but a relationship that long also could be abuse that long. Yeah. And the people who are going the other way and saying that he, that she abused him.
And who knows, maybe it did go back and forth. And
maybe
it was toxic on both ends. But that's the thing. One party's dead. We'll never get the full truth because, you know.
And the other party's not talking.
Exactly.
Yeah, Gabby's family made this statement. The Laundries did not help us find Gabby. They're sure is not going to help us find Brian. For Brian, we're asking you to turn yourself into the FBI or the nearest law enforcement agency. So they haven't done anything to help them. So that that also arouses a lot of suspicion too.
Arouses a lot of suspicion. I like that. That's good.
I think if he didn't tell them exactly what happened, he probably did say something along the lines of, "I'm in trouble. I'm going to run away. I'm not going to tell you where I'm going." But they must know that he was
right. That's a good point. Yeah, maybe he didn't tell them the full truth, but so they could use plausible deniability. But he said enough to say, "I have to get out of here." This is way going into speculation, guys. Obviously, we don't know.
Speculating, but he may not have even said anything to his parents.
He might have said nothing.
Safe, yeah.
Correct.
Because that's the less people know, I mean, no matter how much prying and questioning, you're not going to get anything out of him if there's nothing to get.
Yep. If he's smart, if he's, you know, narcissistic and smart, which he seems to be, then might have been thinking ahead.
Yeah, the Laundrie family's been under siege. They've had all these people in front of their house demanding that they give information.
It's nonstop. I swear to God, I could drive up there right now and I could film it. I probably should just drive up there tomorrow, to be honest.
But I mean, you would think the amount of pressure they would have from being constantly hounded like they are, someone's going to crack. Something's got to give soon, whether it's we find him dead or alive or someone finally says something.
Yeah, because they're just over it. Like, I can't do this anymore.
Right.
Yeah. God, it's so crazy that this is happening. But again, it's just how do we focus on just this one case? I want to ask you, why do you think, is it just media that we focus on a case like this? They're not famous. I guess they kind of were.
She did have that like vlog thing going on. Yeah. And I don't know necessarily that she was famous, but they had a following.
That's true. I guess that's true. That was a start of it.
More so and more I'm seeing, you know, this TikTok star died of COVID. This TikTok star committed suicide. I've never heard of these people.
Good point.
I'm on TikTok, but not to the point where I'm like, you know, subscribe to significant, you know, groups of people, but
that's a good point. So, I mean, I guess they had enough of a force on the internet to be kind of known. So then it's like a ripple effect.
Yeah. I do understand why people are frustrated, because she is a pretty white girl and it's, you know, she's famous and this and that and the other. And I mean, yeah. I've been taking an active stance anytime I'm seeing missing persons, regardless, you know, location, you know, age, that kind of thing, you know, racial background. I'm trying to share it because those people are missing. Everyone's missing. And I want to know more about the other body they found in the park. Who was that person?
Exactly.
I was just looking at some footage of police entering Brian Laundrie's family's house because he lived there. And it was really interesting. It looks like a reality show is being shot because there must be 10 cameramen shooting while the cop is walking. It looks like they're shooting a TV show.
Isn't that crazy?
With all the onlookers, like, they just went right up on their lawn too. It's just...
Oh, they just go right up to the front door. And it's like, I was getting anxiety just watching these videos. I had to stop. I'm like, I would fucking turn around and go ballistic on these people. I could not be in that situation. I couldn't. I don't know how you deal with that day in and day out. I'd crack.
Doug went right up to their door too to inquire.
Yeah, he did.
Knocked on the door.
He sure did. Dog's out here. Oh, he's close.
It kind of frustrates me that Dog's involved, because I can't take him seriously after South Park did that whole skit about the hallway monitor and carpet.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Michelle. Sure he knows what he does, but
he's
it's like great. Having
come on. And plus
it seems like a ploy for him to stay relevant in the media. And again, it's my speculation. It's nothing against him personally. This is just what I think about the situation. You know, and
well, after like, he needs a win after.
He did the same shit when we had a local serial killer situation happen and that guy went missing. He was all like, "We're going to go to Ohio and we're going to find this guy. And then he didn't end up finding him.
How long ago was that?
Oh, God. Couple years ago. I'm trying to... It's like on the tip of my tongue. I just can't remember because I caught myself off guard.
No worries. I was just like... I just think, like, he needs a win because his wife died. And I felt... Like, I just think about that because it was so sad. No. And he was so... But so maybe he's like trying to make a comeback. I don't know. Well, or maybe he cares. Maybe the guy genuinely cares.
The killer I'm referring to is Sean Great.
Oh, okay.
Out of Ohio. That was my neck of the woods. That was a crazy time.
No, Great. But I mean he is an attention whore. I mean, yeah. So you're probably right. I'm just trying to find good people, God damn it. Okay.
And Rachel, you said that, Rachel, you were saying, like, people were speculating, oh, maybe Laundrie was a victim of child abuse.
Uh-huh.
Now, that was supposed to be booing. It doesn't sound
now like you want to come in with sound effects? When I asked for a sound effect earlier, now I get a sound effect. God, Morgan, get it together. Sorry, guys. Yeah, we laugh and joke around sometimes.
That's kids booing.
This is not funny. But that's, they're like, oh, why are you laughing? Well, because you have to make, sometimes you just have to fucking laugh, okay?
Why does that sound like it's from, oh, fuck that movie.
Play it again.
With the booing crowd?
Play it again.
I guess those are more like jeers than boos.
Yeah, those are like jeers. The jeers. That's funny. Okay, stupid. Michelle. Yeah,
so
I love it when you get worked up. Do that again.
Well, you want me to play that again?
No, I said I like it when Michelle gets worked up. Do that again. No, sorry, guys.
Well, I mean,
I've had a really long week, so I'm batshit crazy right now.
I smell the stench of guilt coming from that guy all the way up here in Canada.
Right? Oh, God, if you're smelling it from Canada, then...
Yeah, speaking of that, Morgan, have you guys had a lot of coverage about that, like, up there? Do you guys hear a lot about our bullshit?
When I did my homework, I actually read an article that came out from a Canadian news agency. So yeah, I think it's gotten coverage around the world, actually.
It has.
Thank you for listening to the True Crime News. Bye for now.